Do you know what? I just yawned because you yawned as well.
I'm sorry.
And they say that if somebody yawns, other people, it's like, you know, other people will do it as well. It's like addictive, isn't
it? I'm sorry about that, Ian.
So you're tired? You had late night last night.
I've started now. So I should be yawning for the next hour.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, look, we've got a whole hour to fill. And we haven't really got anything planned.
No.
So, you know, we're asking the question about Greece. What would you do? Maybe if we just sort of talked about it and come up with a really bog-standard way to fix it. The only thing we can think of is, well, they come out of the EU, Greece.
They
just come out of the EU.
Right. Yeah.
And then they go back to the drachma, print off a load of drachmas.
Yeah.
And then they pay us back.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And there's no other way, is there?
No.
What happens if I don't think anybody understands it enough, do they, to say, well, hang on, why don't we just print off a load of money?
Mm.
You know, they obviously have to come out of the EU. They print a load of money, hand it over, job done.
Mm.
Why can't they do that? And what is the problem if they do? What's the repercussions? Does anybody really understand it enough?
I don't understand it at all. I mean, all this money that we're giving to the EU, if we come out of it, do we not pay all this money then?
Well, it's £55 million a day.
Yeah, do we not pay that then? I mean, we could do with that money, couldn't we?
We could do with that money, but then, you know, the question would be, if we're paying in for the EU, does it mean that, how can I put it, if we don't do it, we'll be worse off? And this is why in a couple of years' time, we need to basically find out whether we are going to be worse off or whether we actually need to be in it.
I should think we'd be better off if we keep that money, look after our own people.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds a bit horrible, but...
It does, but...
You know?
Are we in the know? Do we actually know that that is the right thing for us? And I, to be honest, I don't think we do. I don't think we know enough about it. But what's worrying is, I don't think the powers that be really know what they're going to do.
No.
All I know is that on Wednesday, there's going to be a budget, and apparently they're going to make £12 billion worth of cuts.
Goodness me.
During, you know, and hitting people that are on benefits.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of benefits that you can get, and so on. So,
but there are people that genuinely need benefits. There's lots of people that do need them. But
absolutely.
Also, there's people that are on benefits that shouldn't be on them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the people that they should sort out first.
Yeah. It's simple, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought so.
But you know that, you know, this budget, you know, on Wednesday when it comes out, it's going to be hard-hitting for those people that are at the sharp end with not much money.
Yeah, it's always the same, isn't it?
And, you know, you just got to ask, I can't get over the fact that we've just had an election, so does that mean the majority of people that have voted are not on those, you know, lists of cuts that are going to happen? Or are there lots and lots of people, too many people, that are doing all right? Although that's not a bad thing. The trouble is the people that are currently not doing quite so well, they're the ones that are going to be struggling. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a call, you can today. 240666, 240666. We are asking the questions as well. And again, it's all kind of tied in with all these cutbacks and so on and so forth. And I still ask the question, why on earth, if you don't like the cutbacks, just say, for instance, the schools. The schools and the bus routes, okay? That's going to be discussed this week and voted on, but let's take the schools. People are getting upset about Carisbrook High School. Thoroughly understand and appreciate your stance on it. I really do. I wonder how many of those people actually voted Conservative in the last election. That's not having a go at Andrew Turner at all. It's having a go at the fact that austerity and cuts, you voted for them, and now you're going to moan about their you know, shutting down the school because of the cutbacks. So I wonder how many of those people are now wishing that they hadn't voted in that way. Maybe because they didn't understand just how bad the cuts
were
going to be.
They probably didn't. Yeah, but I don't know, Ian.
It's quite frustrating. The other subject you wanted to talk about is Facebook and selfies.
Well, selfies, you know, I can't understand why you put your Facebook on and there's somebody's face looking at you and it's the same people all the time. Why are they doing it? I can understand if there's a couple of you there playing around at a party or something, you know, doing a selfie, but why are people just putting them on? You know, I mean, we know what they look like.
we do, but that's the way it's gone, isn't it?
I just don't understand them.
No,
why people do it?
Who's Richard Madeley's daughter?
Yes,
Chloe Madeley.
Yes.
Have you seen her? Now, Chloe Madeley's probably in her 20s.
Yes.
She's a fit, what I would call a fit bird.
She is. She's lovely.
All right? She's, well, I wouldn't say she's lovely, but...
Oh, Brandon
Shalness is selfies.
His selfie. Oh, his girlfriend.
Anyway,
no, that's his girlfriend.
Let's concentrate on Chloe. Don't worry about Brandon out there. Let's concentrate on Chloe Madeley. Now, she takes pictures of herself semi-naked... And puts them out on Twitter.
Do you know, that's
all
right.
The time.
I saw her on the telly the other day talking about that. Yes.
And you think, why?
Yeah.
Why? See, there's certain things that I think are fun. Okay, you've had a picture of a celebrity, you know. Just say, for instance, my son and I did a selfie after the FA Cup final win. Arsenal were victorious.
That's different. That's
by beating Aston Villa, 4-0, and boy, did they deserve it.
Well, that's different, isn't it? You know,
but it is.
Why, and like this Chloe Madeley, she got half just a bit of clothes on, hasn't she? And she takes the selfies of herself.
I don't understand.
I don't understand that at all.
Is it fair to say, have a bit of respect for yourself?
I don't know.
Are you prostituting yourself in some kind of way? Are you degrading yourself in some kind of way, or are you just attention seeking?
I don't know, because it's the same people every day when I put my Facebook on. There's their face there. You know, I thought, well, I know you.
See, I think Facebook's a wonderful thing.
Oh, it is, if it's used properly.
If it is used properly. There's you go down to Twitter and everyone's tweeting and pictures, and there's Naomi Campbell there, there's pictures of her, there's selfies of her. And, you know, some of it is just fun and some of it is just a little bit... Oh. Hang on, Chloe Madeley.
Why
are you showing me pictures of...
That's horrible, I think.
But if you look into the news side of things, and I don't want to do too much because I think we were going to do this on Wednesday. You know, this is some of these tweets. Just say, for instance, Chloe Madeley has tweeted a picture of herself and her remarkably flat stomach.
Yes.
Because that's what it's all about half the time.
Her mum and dad agree with it as well, don't they?
Anyway, she's tweeted this about her flat stomach, and that's in the news. That's a news story. And you think, is it really?
Gosh.
What have we become?
Yes.
What have we become?
Yeah.
So there's all these things that we want to chat about, and you know, how much is too much when it comes down to tweeting and putting pictures of yourself on? How much is it is beneficial? How much is it is just an attention thing? I want some attention.
But you can tell when they're actually having fun doing it, and you can tell when they're doing it seriously to see them, can't you? You know, they've done it for a serious picture. Because I think people having fun doing it, that's different.
Okay. It's probably a valid point to make. I'm just checking my Twitter thing now just to see what pictures have been... Because the other thing I really, really feel strongly about over the weekend is that the young girl that was representing Britain at tennis at Wimbledon, Heather Watson, I think she's 23 years old, and even before the game with Serena Williams on Friday, she played an amazing game of tennis. She really did, and it was exciting, it was great to watch. But even before the game, she was being hounded on Twitter, saying that they wish that, you know, trolls were wishing her family dead. There were death threats for her and her family.
Dreadful.
And there was also messages of, we hope you get cancer and die soon.
Oh, God.
That's
dreadful.
Mean, is there no levels now that people were sent
there
to?
No, there isn't. I mean, you see some awful things, yeah.
I honestly think that these people... that have done this kind of thing a couple of hours ago, and on Friday I was thinking they should really hit these people hard, fine them massively, ban them from the internet, possibly put them in prison for a bit as well.
I'm sure they can trace them somehow or other.
They've got to be able to trace them.
Yeah.
I really hope that they trace these people. They call them trolls, don't
That's
they?
That's right, yes.
I'm just trying to find the story now, because it was just a horrible, horrible story.
But a lot of celebrities apparently get these sort of tweets, and they say they learn to live with them and just ignore them. But, you know, that was awful.
How
she's
can
just,
you?
Well, I couldn't, no.
And why should you? You know,
that's right.
To me, that's not right. Heather Watson vows to ignore cowardly online trolls after receiving death threats. She had all of that and then went on the centre court and played the most amazing game of tennis. Gotta ask yourself, how much of that played a part in the end?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because, you know, she kind of blew it in the end. And she did. Heather Watson has vowed to ignore cowardly, horrible online trolls who have given her death threats. British number one set up a third round SW19 clash with Serena Williams, which of course she went on to lose. But despite being the number one wild card, Watson rarely reads her Twitter feed for messages as she gets so much abuse.
Yes.
Why stay on it?
Yeah.
Do you need to? Is it improving your tennis at all?
Yeah.
Is it improving your you know, being able to talk to the outside world? If you don't read it, just delete it. That's what I would do. I would absolutely 100% delete it and walk away from it. These have included people threatening to kill her and her family, wishing her cancer and various other horrible threats. Watson, 23, said, "I don't really check them anymore. I think those people, they've got no life. They've just kind of cowards thinking that they can say whatever they want on the internet. They don't understand that we're just people at the end of the day. It is not very nice at all. I don't think they'd appreciate people saying that stuff to them, but what can you do? Well, I'll tell you what, there's things that you can do. First of all, come off Twitter.
Yes, I would.
Secondly, the authorities ought to get involved.
Yeah, definitely.
No matter where they are in the world, I don't think you're going to be able to stop it. It usually is gamblers, because you either win or lose money. Well, sorry, but that still does, that's no excuse.
No.
It's usually always positive when I win, it's just when I don't win. Williams is next up, but the British woman, she obviously, this is from Friday. This is before she actually went on court. Watson yesterday recovered from being 3-1 down in the opening set to win in straight sets. She added, "I thought what I really do well today, I stayed composed. I thought I played a lot better," and so on. This is before she actually played Serena Williams, and obviously the Williams sisters, they play each other later today,
they
so she would have had to take her on. But how much of that would have affected her?
It would affect anybody, wouldn't it, if you read something like that?
I mean, it's just truly dreadful. Truly dreadful. I just hope they find these people and something, you know, something is done to prevent, because there's too much of this rubbish going on. There's too much of these mad people that they think that it's all right to spout such absolute nonsense and just, you know, complete nastiness. It's just vicious, vile, and there's no place for
it. There's plenty of loonies around, isn't there? I mean, they just well, it's unbelievable they've done that to her. It's really bad.
Later this week, there's obviously a plea to save rural Isle of Wight bus services, which should be made to councillors this week. They've got a meeting on Wednesday. Hundreds of people have signed a protest, protest petitions against £1 million bus cuts, which will see some Southern Vectis services axed from September the 6th and others severely reduced. So we're talking in a couple of months' time. There will be some reductions. At an Isle of Wight Council meeting on Wednesday, councillors Bob Seeley and Conrad Gauntlet, who face cuts in their wards, will urge fellow members to halt the closures and continue to fund services until there is full consultation. Their joint motion states rural bus services are a lifeline for the elderly, disabled and all those who cannot drive or afford car ownership. Without them, they are cut off from medical, dental and other essential services. For villagers without a shop, that includes food purchases, the quality of life becomes diminished, and for some residents, unsustainable additional costs are caused to the public purse by the loss. Routes under threat include the number 34, it goes from Wootton to Haven Street to East Cowes, the number 35, which goes to Newbridge, Newport, and 39, the Newport Town Service. As previously reported, 16-year-old student Jodie Long of Porchfield has started a petition against the cuts, which say she will leave communities isolated. Petitions have been organised in Shorewell and Bryston, and this Wednesday's meeting starts at 6 o'clock at County Hall, and there is an opportunity for public questions. See, the trouble is, if they haven't got the money to do it, There's not a lot they can do, is there?
Yeah, but I do feel sorry for people that are stuck out in the country there and they've got no buses at all. It's, I mean, it's okay if you've got the money, you can get taxis then, can't you? But
yeah.
If you haven't got the money, if you're elderly out there and there's no shops anymore, no post office anymore, you know, they've got to get into the towns, well, they've got to get into the doctors and that. I don't know. I don't know what they can do.
These are cutbacks,
yes,
that we voted for.
Well, I didn't.
No, but sadly, these are cutbacks that the majority of us have voted for.
I don't know what else other veterans can do if they've got to make cuts. I just...
I said this last week. I think I might have said it to you. Did you see the thing on the Wigan Council?
Yes.
There was a thing,
yes,
on the Wigan Council.
Right.
And
yeah,
they showed you how the cutbacks, they took you round what they actually do and how the cutbacks have affected. Mm. And they had £100 million cutbacks to make in Wigan. And they showed you just how bad it was and just how tough it is now working in any council across the UK.
It's difficult for the people that have got to make these decisions. I think it's really hard for them.
But my point is this. We then have an election. The election is quite clear that the nation wanted David Cameron and the Conservative Party to run our country. Mm-hmm. Okay, had they seen that programme that was quite clearly made in January or February because of the ice and the snow that was on the roads, that programme should have been on before the election, just to show you this is what's going to happen if they get in and the cutbacks happen. Now, there will be some people that are out there and will be thinking, well, we need to pay this money back, so there has to be cutbacks. Okay, fully understand and appreciate that. But how big are the cuts? How deep are the cuts? Mm. And how much will it affect us? Well, programmes like that would have been absolutely ideal for people to watch and see
before the election.
But what do? They show it after the election when the vote has already taken place.
That's the media for you again, isn't it? You see,
would it have changed anything?
Well, it might have done.
Would it change anything? I mean, yeah, it may have done, possibly not, because maybe there are just enough people in this country that will vote the Conservatives in because they must be doing all right.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that's the case. I think that's the case on the island.
So they're voting on that. That's going to happen. It's going to affect Southern Vectis. Mm. And, you know, if they've got to make cutbacks to make their business run properly, then so be it. I see it from both sides. I think it's a shame. But I also think, well, hang on a minute. If suddenly your husband came home and said, look, Shell, we're only getting X amount every month from here on in. Mm. You're going to have to pull your belt in. Mm. You're going to have to pull your belt in.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Well, yeah, got no option. Yeah.
There might be some people that say, well, hang on a minute. What about the shareholders? Maybe if they didn't make so much profit, would that make a difference?
Yeah.
In this instance, I don't think it would. Because I think the cutbacks are there for all to see.
I don't think they should cut them going to the rural places. I think they should still have their buses. Maybe cut the not so many going to like ride and back all day long, because they're very, very frequent, aren't they?
Do you know what they do in Corfu? They do this thing where you just touched the point there. You know, they're quite frequent. Mm. They probably run every half an
going
hour
to
or
ride
so.
That
is a really, really good point. And how many times did we were at Newport Football Club broadcasting only for 3 months of the summer back in 2010, I think it was. And the amount of buses that used to go by Newport Football Club,
were
double-decker buses with nobody on
half
them.
Half empty, that's right.
In Corfu, we were quite surprised to see that we visited a town.
Yeah.
And there was a bus, and 6 hours later there was a bus that took you back.
Yes.
So they dropped you there.
So you know what time.
And you were there for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, okay, there are people that use buses to get to business, to work, and so on and so forth. But I look at it and think, well, if you've got a bus that runs every 20 minutes from Cowes to Newport...
They do.
Which they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you run them every 40 minutes?
Or something, yes.
Every 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
People would soon get used to it.
They would do.
And they would.
Yeah.
And it's only 20 blooming minutes, isn't it? You'd much rather have that and then be able to say to the people at Newbridge, You know, there's a bus, but there's only one or two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can walk out.
That would satisfy them, and so they can come into town and do what they've got to do, and then they know what time they've got to go back.
But isn't it funny how all of a sudden we're an expert on buses?
Yes.
I mean, how many people would then be put out because they're not running enough buses between
you? You can go to the bus station and virtually get on a bus to ride. You'd have to wait hardly any time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Shall we take a call?
Mm.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate.
It's Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Shirley.
Good afternoon, Keith.
How are you both?
Fine, thank you.
I'm a bit worried about Greece.
Ian, I'm a bit worried about you falling into the trap, saying about why don't they cut back the services here and run there and everywhere, and yet when the ferries go and do it, people complain.
How do you mean?
Well, you were saying you see empty buses rolling by, you say, well, why don't they stop that one? And, run it instead of once every half hour or every hour or something. Well, you've got the same problem with the ferries sometimes.
See, I think that's a common sense statement. Do it with the ferries too if they're not that full.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but like I say, as soon as the ferries do it, people complain.
Well, I wouldn't complain because I've got no place to complain because I don't use the ferries that often.
But, you know, you got your summer schedule, your summer timetable, and you've got your winter timetable. You know, I used to absolutely hate it when I rolled in the winter into the ferry terminal at Fishbourne there, and it was just watching the boat sail out. So I know then at least I had another hour before the next one came in. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
But then, I mean, how often do they run? I mean, it's the smaller ferries, the fast jet. I mean, they run about 2 an hour, don't they?
Mm.
I don't really know. I've never had to deal with them, mate. I wouldn't know what the schedule is. But didn't you used to have a catamaran service that used to run around in the 90s out of Cowes that I think got squeezed out of the market?
Well, I think, what do you mean, out of Cowes to Southampton?
Yeah, or vice versa. There was another catamaran service. It was, I can't think what it was called. Somebody backed me up here, I'm sure.
Oh, I think they just changed it over and had the Red Jet, didn't they?
No, there was another company that was running.
Oh, right. I'm with you now.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. What I'm trying to say, there was another, I can't think what they were called, but there was another catamaran service that was running. I just cannot remember what they were called for the sake of it now. But you also had the same one that was back in the 70s, like Ian, in the early 80s. You had a hovercraft service from Southampton to Cowes. And that went.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I don't know what the answer is regarding transport or access to the island.
Well, do you think it makes sense to, bring the ferry in.
Yeah.
When it's full up, take it out.
Well, hold it back.
Yeah.
You've got the problem with the mainland, with the ones that are trying to get over.
Yeah, and people are trying to hit trains and things like that.
Yeah.
You've got to have a timetable that works.
Yeah. You've got to have a timetable that works.
But I went over very recently to Southampton, and the queue was astronomical. And
to get on, to come back
on the island. I thought, we're never going to get it on there. Mm. But amazingly, we did.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could probably get away with, and they probably do. I mean, let's be honest. They know more about their business than we do. We can just guess. But there's certain hours of the day where it's going to be really, really incredibly busy. So they've got to run two an hour.
Yeah, well, at the other end there, you go to the Lymington Yarmouth end, and I'm afraid to say that money speaks. Look, the yachts have squeezed the big ferries out. They dropped the big ferries down that end, haven't they?
Are they?
Yeah, and they've also cut the service, I think.
Oh.
Cut what service?
The Lightning service from Yarmouth to Lymington, Lymington to Yarmouth.
How do you mean cut it?
Well, they're cutting back on it.
Are they?
Yeah, not running so many ferries.
Oh.
Is that because it comes down to finances, though?
I think it was because of the big complaints about the big boats.
Right.
And the yachties were saying, we can't sail now because of these big boats running around here. Left, right, and centre. And Lymington decided, allegedly, Lymington Town Council decided, something's got to happen here. We're losing money via the yachty side of it. So I'm afraid that some changes have got to be made.
Do you know what I think? I mean, this is probably not going to make me very popular, but hey, look, I think we've never had it so blooming good in the way of our services when it comes to you know, boats and ferries. You go back 20, 30 years. I don't suppose they ran as many, did they?
No, they couldn't have done, Ian.
No,
and the state of them ferries when we used to come over on there.
Yeah, do you remember that little one they had out of Southampton where they had like a turntable on the end of it? And you had to drive your vehicle down the bottom. And they spun you around, you drove back off. It only had one entrance.
Really?
I can't remember, I think it was in Netley Castle, I think, something like that.
And I can remember coming over on the ferries as well, and you had to go downstairs where the sort of the bar was, and everybody was smoking and everything. It was dreadful.
Well, I remember, like I said, even being sat in the vehicles, still sat in the lorry cabs and whatnot. I think it was the ferry disaster in Zeebrugge, I think they killed that one. Not pun intended, and a bit of a sick pun if it was. But when everybody had to get out of the vehicles and up on the decks now, don't they?
Yes, they do have to, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that the only people that's is ambulances, and I think it's prison.
Yeah, they can't let them out.
No, true. Sat in the little cubicles there, yeah. poor souls, but there you go.
No, poor souls.
Yeah.
I hear you've got a pop star over there now anyway, ain't you?
Well, ex-pop star.
Ex-pop star, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the rumour has it.
Yeah, do you want to be in my gang? No, thanks.
Does it?
See, that was a big story this time last week.
Yeah.
What really irritates me is we don't need to know. And
no,
he must be getting his rocks off in there because it's a massive story across the front page. I say shut it down and don't even mention it. Mm. It's not even news.
Trouble is, Ian, like you said earlier on about Twitter and Facebook and all the other ones, it's like wildfire. Once somebody gets hold of a story, and it's gone, isn't it? It's right across the internet.
Yeah.
Now, look, I've got to ask you a personal question, if you like. Please don't take this the wrong way, because I know you're an avid user of Facebook.
Yeah, only because it's free.
Well, it's not really because you have
a
to pay.
Account, well,
you have to pay for your internet, so it's not really free, is it?
Well, then again, you could say that with TV or Sky TV, couldn't
you? Yeah, nothing's free.
No.
But my point is this: if you use the Facebook, Twitter, in the way that maybe most people should be using it, it should be a wonderful, wonderful toy. But there are some people that I think, hang on a minute. Some of the things that you're saying there are a little bit personal.
You're
giving us too much details to what's going on in your...
You've got the slaggers, yeah.
And then you get people that...
You've got the garden fence brigade.
Well, there's all sorts of... And I say, there's a very fine line, isn't there?
You got the big... What is it? The big boob powders. They're on there, mate.
The big what, sorry?
I call them the big boob powders. They can't take a photograph without looking like a fish and showing their breasts off.
God.
It's true, though, sure, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You say, oh, yeah, that's a nice-looking girl. What the hell are you doing, you know? It's like sometimes it's like a meat market, mate. You know, you look at you scroll down for the pages and you think, oh, crikey, why are you doing that? Why are you looking like that, you know?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that on the internet? You know, anybody's got access to that photograph, et cetera, et cetera. Because half of them don't know what the settings are, look. They leave it wide open to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
I just think that there's this thing, and I'm not quite sure what you would call it. I think it's just attention seeking half the time. But
you do get that. Oh, I got a headache this morning. Oh, it's not as even if I got drunk last night, you know. And you think, oh, well, I know, I'm innocent, hands in the air, guilty. I'm not saying innocent, hands in the air, guilty. I said, you know, I put on there, like, oh, I feel rough today, that must be the certain tablets I took such and such a night, but...
Yeah, but we all know you, Keith.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing,
sir? Yeah, but the thing is, it's... That's kind of innocent, isn't it? It's kind of innocent. People know you and people follow you. They choose to follow you.
I do hate, Ian, is seeing people that's going through a relationship bust-up and they're chucking all the dirty laundry out they can find.
That is terrible.
And you think, oh, blimey, you know, should be, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll just skip through it. But that's open to anybody. If it's open to me, then it's open to 9 times out of 10 anybody.
Yeah. It is.
Anybody
because
can read what is going on in that family situation.
Yeah, you could just put their name in, because I put someone's name in this morning because I heard something about this person.
Yeah.
But they're not on my Facebook. And I put that name in, and I found out all this information.
Well,
personal information.
Well, you've got to blame the internet for half the problem, because not being funny, but Google—they're the biggest outlet of information you could possibly think of. Because if you go on somebody's Facebook page, they now give you the option that if you click on the photograph on the Facebook page, you can drag it to Google, and it'll take you straight and tell you who that person is.
Wow.
I know, it's not good, is it?
Yeah.
It's not good.
What do you think of people like this young British tennis player? She's been abused. Did you read the story?
I've heard about it, Ian. I haven't actually read the actual story myself.
I mean, what would you say to those people that are behind all of this? What should happen to them?
Well, they never get caught, Ian.
No, but what should happen to them?
You know, they say that there's internet police. Oh, yeah, we'll track you down. But that offence has happened with this girl over the weekend. It might take 20 years to track them down.
Yeah, but what should happen to them when they do?
That's a good question, mate, isn't it? It's, Well, could it be classed as a... Well, it's threatening behaviour, isn't it?
They should ban them as first
well,
thing
yes,
they should
they
do.
They should prosecute them because it's
yes,
threatening behaviour.
Yes, of course they should, yeah.
It's you know, if they're threatened to end somebody's life, that's...
Well,
that's,
they've had
you can
death...
You get done for that, can't you?
They've had death threats. Family have had death threats, and they've wished her dead.
Yeah.
And hope she gets cancer. That's what they've said. And
that's not good, is it, mate?
No.
That's not good at all. Mm. It's, the thing is, Ian, you go back 20, 25 years, all you had that you could find out was from the papers, or the TV,
yeah.
or the radio.
Yeah.
And now, like me, you know, Keith... Did you do as you call me? I could go on and say, oh, so-and-so up the road, you know, he's got 20 wives and he's running the brothel and et cetera, et cetera. And people could take my word for that. You know, next week, oh, you read about that? It's just gossip, isn't it?
It's gossip. Potential.
It is gossip, yeah.
It's potential. Yeah. They're potential journalists, aren't they?
Yeah.
In lots of ways.
There is one on the Isle of Wight you've got there. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Not mentioning names, but
no, he
terrible.
Did actually mention that somebody had died, and quite
died,
clearly
yeah.
they hadn't.
No, of course they hadn't, mate. No,
but
no.
then, what happened to him? What? You know, what should happen to him?
His page is still going, mate.
Yeah, no, but, exactly.
You know, the people who recognise him as a potential news feed and actually use his information, which I think is wrong, but it's. What can you do to shut him down? You can. You know, I notice he's been a bit quiet lately, but...
What's the school situation like where you are, Keith?
Schools?
Yeah,
regarding what, mate? What do you mean regarding...
Let me see. I mean when we had a bit of a shuffle around about 7 or 8 years ago...
Yeah, you had a major merger with several schools, didn't you, apparently, over there? Didn't
yeah,
you?
But what we had was... I mean, we always used to have 5 high schools. Now, I think we've got more than 5, haven't we? Well, let's name them, the high schools.
We've had that happen around here in Romsey. I think we've had a couple of smaller schools have merged with the middle school, so to speak.
That's happened here.
And a couple of the middle schools have merged with the bigger schools and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
But then again, Ian, I know if you've got a bigger school, I think the education tends to fall behind a little bit with some of the pupils if you've got more people attending it.
Right.
You know, you haven't got the, how can I put it, the sort of... well, let's take our village school down here, for instance. Our village school down here has got about 130... It's about 150 tops.
That's a good size.
Yeah. You know, in the, yeah. you know, for the amount of teachers we got and whatnot, they all seem to get a fair. Plus, what do they call it? It's teachers. What do they call it? Learning assistants, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, TAs.
That's it.
Teachers assistants.
That's it. And everybody seems to be coping okay.
Yeah.
But you get these bigger schools, mate. I can't see how it's working. You know, they're on about people saying that kids are lacking behind, but how can they catch up if they haven't got the You know, it's not 1-to-1, but say 10-to-1.
And the classes are so big.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
I know.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's scary. So I know the government wanted only, what was it, something ridiculous, like they only wanted 32 to a classroom, wasn't it?
That's ridiculous anyway.
But, there's more than that in classrooms.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, of course,
Cheryl. Okay, let me just run, because I just made a list, okay?
Yeah, sure, mate, yeah.
There were 5 high schools, okay, until about 7 or 8 years ago. There were Carisbrook, there were Medina, there was Ryde Private, Sandown, and Ryde High. So there always used to be 5 high schools.
Yeah.
Now, I always remember doing a phone-in on another radio station with Steve Bynan and somebody else that were, this was the plan. I think it was might have been Pugh. And they're saying this is the plan. They want to turn loads of. They want to have load more high schools. Okay, so this was the idea, right? We've got a load more high schools. So we've now got a high school section at the Isle of Wight College, or sixth form college.
Yeah.
We've now got Node Hill, which of course is another sixth form college, and also Christ the King College now is acting as a high school. So you've got 3
really?
Extras. Mm. And now you've got a lot less children going to high schools. So whoever had that idea that amount of years ago is really, really messed up big time, because now this could cost a hell of a lot more money for a start.
Yeah.
It could cost people's education and a lot of stress and a lot of hassle. So, you know, I look at it and think, five high schools, okay, one of them was a private one, so you had four high schools, and now you've got three extras. You don't have to have, you know, a degree in mathematics to work out that if there's not so many kids being born on the Isle of Wight and using the schools, we're going to have too many high schools and not enough kids.
Well, it was in the news today, Ian, that apparently a lot of younger families are being driven out of the areas, like you've got like the Isle of Wight, and also
there's four extras. Sorry, I just thought of one. Ventnor is a free school, and that's a high school as well.
Right. And also as well, there's quite a few people now that home educate their children on the island.
Yes, there are. Yes, we've got a couple of villages here, actually.
There are.
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith, I'll cut you off in your prime.
No, there was on about saying that it tends to become more like elderly people and the upper price bracket that could afford the actual homes in sort of smaller areas, you know, like... let's say, well, let's take a village in the Isle of Wight, say Shorrel, over there at Wight. Shorwell or Shorrel, I always called it Shorrel.
Mm.
But you take that, for instance. I should imagine that the younger families out there, they can't afford to buy a house out there, Ian. That must be priced right out of their bracket.
Yeah, probably.
You know, because it's such an elusive area. It's such a... well, yeah, we got them over here, mate. You know, we got them over here. We got houses that used to be pigsties that are converted into elaborate homes that only the elite people can afford, you know, and the actual villagers don't get nothing, so to speak. But, you know, this is... Oh, no, I've gone off a different tangent like I normally do. But I'm just saying, you know, where's it going to end?
Well, indeed, where is it going to end? I mean, it's...
You know, we've even got gated areas over here, mate. You know, there's places that are built that, with residences behind it that are built with gate... You know, they're gated areas. You can only get in with passwords and this, that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got that on the Isle of Wight, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, you'll find that. And they say there's no division.
Hey, look, Keith, good to talk to you.
Yeah, before we go...
Go on.
Just saying about... we were going back to about slandering and whatnot, and, well, I'll say slandering. It was being nasty. With one of the funniest things, when you had your schools were merging over there, and you had the People's Revolution, wasn't it, so to speak, that was up against it all and whatnot, and your demonstrations, one of the funniest billboards I saw, or placards somebody was waving around, was, "Pew, you stink."
That's
brilliant. Pew, don't you get it? I laughed when I saw that on the local news. I thought, that is ingenuity for you, that is. Yeah, pew, you stink. Anyway, nice to talk to you,
bud. Yeah,
thank you.
Cheers, bye. Okay, so what have we got here? We've got Jonathan Skeet says, maybe you should lobby central government really hard and relentlessly for increased funding to keep essential services going. Maybe every reduction in local services should be matched by a decrease in the council tax. And I must admit, Angela Reid has spotted a spelling mistake. I've called them councillors, as in people that will counsel you. That's that blooming thing that I use, the Apple thing, where you voice it. I mean, it's forever getting me into trouble. It really is. I called Dale Darling the other week, and you know, it's forever getting me into trouble. So Ali Hayden said something as well. Do you want to read that one out, Dame Shirley?
People should get behind Unite the Wight. It's a local group set up to voice against austerity and the severe effect it's having on the island. Even statutory service are going to be affected. With a budget on Wednesday set to hit the island's most vulnerable, the island's councillors are not responsible for cutting services, but the central government are. The next meeting of Unite the Wight is this Saturday, 12 o'clock, in Church Lytton in Newport.
Right, okay, and they had 80 people turn up last time.
I wonder if they might get some more this time.
We love Ali to bits, but I just think, what a complete waste of time. We just had a vote. You should have voted better.
I know.
It's as simple as that.
I know. What can we do about it now, though?
What can you do about it?
There's nothing, Ian, is there?
Well... No, damage is already done. Hey, look, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to chat to the one, the only, Charles Dickens. is going to be here answering a couple of questions in the next few minutes. Was there anything else to do with the schools? The vote happens on Wednesday.
Yeah.
What do you think they'll do? Because apparently it was just the executive, 7 or 8 were going to vote. Now they're making all 40 councillors
vote.
They've
all got to vote.
I think that they will vote unanimously to not close Carisbrook.
But I don't know what they're going to do there because Carisbrook isn't full up. You know?
It's the worst decision they've got to make.
I feel really sorry for them, actually.
They're damned if they do, damned if they don't. I don't envy their task this week. Anyway, we'll come back after this quick break with Charles Dickens.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
The Castle St Helens. Superb self-catering accommodation in St Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details.
Westridge Golf Centre is the number one place on the Isle of Wight to get into golf. They have a fully covered floodlit golf range to practice your game with PGA qualified professionals on hand to provide tuition for complete beginners all the way through to the most advanced golfers. Check them out now on www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre in Brading Road, Ryde.
Key Art is one of 13 organisations awarded funding by the Isle of Wight Council to deliver youth provisions. Key Art is in partnership with Vectis Radio and is offering young people aged 11 to 19 years, up to 25 years with additional needs, a wide variety of creative art activities, as well as the opportunity to learn about radio.
Business Insight, a weekly programme of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success. Plus, business news and information to help your business succeed in today's fast-paced and competitive business world. Mondays at 6:20 p.m. on The Evening Event. Also available for download and podcast online at vectisradio.com. Business Insight is brought to you by Jigsaw Sales and Marketing Consultants, driving business success.
Need your Saturday night vamping to the max? Then join Dazza D every Saturday from 8 with the mashup. There's chillax tracks, mashups, rock clash-ups, extended mixes, the UK Dance Chart Top 10 Lowdown, and much, much more. Get locked in every Saturday from 8.
Origins Theatre's new production presents Charles Dickens, Storyteller. We bring Charles Dickens back to life with a lookalike actor in period costume, reading extracts from his books, just as he used to do. It's the perfect addition to any event. A festival, a fete, a corporate event, a specially themed dinner at a pub or hotel. Find out more and book Charles Dickens for your event. Go to originstheatre.uk. That's www.originstheatre.uk.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
We've been joined by the one, the only, Charles Dickens. Good morning, Charles. Good afternoon, Charles.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we?
Is that a voice you're putting on?
No, that's my normal voice. That's not my Charles Dickens voice.
You don't do your Charles Dickens voice?
No, I'm saving that for my first appearance.
When is your first appearance?
August the 1st and 2nd, Isle of Wight Steam Railway. I'm having a Victorian weekend, and they've asked me Charles Dickens to go along and read some extracts from my stories.
Brilliant.
I'll be on the Woodland stage during the day at different times, and also walking around in costume, wearing a very authentic looking wig and facial hair so that I look just like Charles Dickens when he was about 40-ish.
Right.
Yeah. Be careful what you say.
So you're going to look younger then.
Lots of makeup, yeah.
So what, I mean, you obviously, just in case, it's Kevin Wilson from the Afternoon Show. You do you are an actor.
I am.
And this is obviously where this comes from. There's obviously an idea of yours.
Yeah.
Have you played, you know, Charles before?
No, I've as you said, I've been an actor for a few years, and I run my own theatre company, Origins Theatre. We tend to do brand new stuff, some of which I write myself. But I've always loved Charles Dickens and the stories. I've got the full set at home. I've loved them since I was a boy. Avid reader of them. And I was asked 2 years ago by people in Ventnor if I'd just read Christmas Carol at a Christmas event of theirs. So I went along and read it and got a fantastic response to it, dressed up like a Victorian, as you do.
Yeah.
But the response from people was just wonderful, and I thought, when I get time, I'd like to do more of this, because people do still love the stories, and the characters are amazing. So I thought, as an actor, it's just like it's on a plate, really, because it's just me. I don't need any great preparation. So I've been offering myself around, and got signed up by Steam Railway for their event.
Brilliant.
So that's the first big one I'm going to do, and I'm hoping it will lead to other bookings in the future.
So when you get dressed up, you will get into a proper character. You'll be talking in a Charles Dickens kind of way.
Well, yeah, not necessarily. I don't know what a Charles Dickens way is, because I've not met him, but I will be. The important thing is that I will be changing my voice, but I'm not just reading out the stories. I'm going to play the characters as they come up in the stories. So I'll have to change my voice. I'll have to be Mr. Pickwick. I'll have to be Nancy in Oliver Twist. Think before you speak, Ian.
No comment.
And I'm going to be tonight, Matthew. I'm going to be Nancy.
Right.
Yeah. So Ian's gone quiet. So I'll keep talking.
Have you got to grow beards and that?
No,
I'm going to do false.
I've sent off to a theatrical costumier I know, who has, and a wig maker, and he's made me a wig and the beard and moustache based on images of Charles Dickens.
Oh,
so I will actually look quite like him. Yeah,
so
he's a bit shorter than me, but apart from that.
What? And he's got some dodgy hairdos, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, that'll be me, you know.
What I'm looking at now, I think.
You're not supposed to be putting people off.
I was wondering if you were going to grow your hair, Kevin, but you're not.
It's not possible. No. Mine's like sort of cactus.
Don't say
hair.
That.
You're really showing me up, you.
Yeah. So you've got a voice that you're going to use as Charles Dickens. Can you just give us a flavour of how it goes or not?
I'm still working on it, but I'm just going to deepen it, and I'll be talking a lot slower and more methodically. I will be a little bit better spoken, but yeah, you can't do it until I'm reading the stories, to be honest with you.
Okay, and the first one is on August the 1st.
August the 1st and 2nd, and I'll also be doing Right Over Christmas at the Steam Railway. They've got lots of Christmas events. I think every day up to Christmas, I'm going to be there reading Charles Dickens' Christmas stories as well. I'm walking around. They'll have artificial snow and everything. So it's going to be really good.
Do you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing you act, because I've not seen you act. And I've heard some wonderful things said about you.
Okay.
So, you know, I've not seen it, but I really must put myself out and come and see you, because maybe we'll come along to, you know, because this is an event that's open to people. Anybody can come along.
Yeah, yeah. So, can I give a plug to something else then, since you mentioned it? If you're really keen, you can come and see me on Thursday night My own play called Wake is on in a double bill at Freshwater Memorial Hall for the first time there. That's
Thursday
night.
I did a gig there, Kevin, and I died.
Did you?
Yeah, on stage.
Thanks for that.
So wish you luck with that. That's this, this Thursday, double bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on.
Half seven. Book at the Memorial Hall, phone them up, or just go in the cabin at Freshwater and get the ticket. £7.50.
Okay. Can't Thursday come this night. Thursday because my mum's coming around for tea.
Oh, I'll let you off then. Yeah. But don't worry.
I'll be honest.
I'll keep coming up with new ones for you.
Oh, good. I'll be honest. I'd rather come and see you than mum come around for dinner or tea.
I've seen Kevin in a play.
Have you?
And it was very moving.
Oh, was it My Boy?
Yes.
At the Bargemans Rest?
Yeah, very moving that was. Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. We're doing that one more time at Ventnor Fringe in August at the Crab and Lobster. That's on August the 11th, a Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Opening night of Ventnor Fringe.
Do you know what I like about you, Kevin? Is it you're an actor, but you're not a lovey? Do you know what I mean? You're just a, you know.
Why
just
is Shirley laughing?
I don't know. She laughs at everything. Isn't it funny? I mean, my wife is like super intelligent when it comes down to, you know, Dickens and Shakespeare and all that kind of stuff. And she'll rattle all of all this stuff. And I think to myself, hang on a minute. I've heard of Great Expectations and The Tale of Two Cities and all those things. So we're probably surprised ourselves with how much that we actually are involved with or watch. Yeah. You know, Dickens or read Dickens.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Who's your favourite? Which one's your favourite?
What character?
Yeah.
I think the favourite book is David Copperfield. He wrote a lot of that on the Isle of Wight when he stayed in Bonchurch.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and a lot of it is autobiographical as well, because he had a traumatic experience in childhood when he was sent to work in a blacking factory. He was a part of a really well-off family. And he was stunned when all that was sort of stripped away from his life and he was sent to work in this really rough factory because his dad got into debt. That's my favourite story of them all, so I'll be reading some extracts from that. And Oliver Twist, Pickwick Papers, which is really, really funny. I'll be reading quite a few extracts from that one. Love Christmas Carol. And some lesser-known ones that he used to read out himself. He used to do reading tours. He was an absolute megastar. He would have been paid equivalent. He'd be like John Bon Jovi today. You know, he'd be flying in a helicopter, paid millions. Thousands of people would come and listen to him just reading his stories. Thousands. And he was paid loads of money to tour America to read them as well. So he was an actor as well as a writer.
So are you like now doing loads of research, or is it all, you know, because he's been around for so long, you've done it all?
I'm topping up what I already know, so avidly reading books about him, so that when people ask me questions, I'll hopefully have an answer. But I know somebody will know more than I do, so I'm not pretending to be a living replica of Charles Dickens. I'm really going there to read out his stories and sort of bring back what he used to do, rather than pretending to people that I'm the world's authority on Charles Dickens.
Okay, so people can book you for events that they may come up. Obviously, go along and see you at in August 1st and 2nd at the Steam Railway, and then you can kind of get a feel of what you know be booked for different events and so on and so forth. I'm pretty sure that we're going to see you at a lot more events. You're gonna become as high profile as David Randini. Randini's always here, there, and everywhere. And in a minute, we'd be Charles Dickens is over there.
In fact, we could team up, couldn't we? Be quite a double act, wouldn't it?
Dickens and Randini.
Yeah, what the Dickens is going on?
So I look forward to that. How can we find out more?
Okay. If you go to our website, when I say our, that's Origins Theatre, my theatre company. So the web address is originstheatre, all one word, .uk. And there's a tab at the bottom of the page labelled Dickens, and if you just click on that, it'll give you a bit of more background and also how to book me for your event if you would like to do that in the future.
Okay, and there is a picture of you, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, there is.
Dressed as Dickens with the beard. Because I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's... His great-great-great-great-granddad was Charles Dickens. That half looked like Kevin, doesn't it?
Kevin Dickens. It's not quite the same, is it? No, I think I'll stick to Charles Dickens. Like, yeah.
So I was just going to ask you that there was loads of things that we know that you know, we've grown up with it, even though it happened years ago. I mean, Dame Shirley went to school with Charles Dickens. I don't really know.
Did she?
Yeah, when you mentioned the David Copperfield story, she was very influential in that story. But you know, there's lots of things. When you see the older type ones, do you prefer the older type ones, or do you prefer the remakes? I know recently there was what was the one? It was American actress that was
Gillian Anderson was.
That's
in.
The one. We watched
what
that.
Was she in? Was it Bleak House?
No, it was Great Expectations.
It was, yes. Yeah.
And my wife watched this and she raved about it. She thought it was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, so did I.
So
I love all of them. I just love seeing the... Because he's all about amazing characters, and he used to serialise his novels. He didn't just publish them, he wrote them in instalments. So people got hooked on them month by month. He'd publish extra bits, and he'd just come up with these amazing characters, and then to be able to see them now on television and even on radio, to hear people reading the stories, it's just amazing, because the characters are just so much fun now. People think it's very wordy, and he is very wordy, so I don't think I'm going to stand there and read the whole of David Copperfield. But I suppose I'm trying to do what he used to do, because he recognised that people like short snapshots, which is why he wrote the novels in instalments. So I'm going to do the same.
Hey, look, thanks for taking time out before the show to come in and tell us, and I hope it goes really well on the first and second. And the details again are on your website, which is
www.originstheatre.uk.
Thanks, Kevin. Charles.